We're going to be continuing in Acts chapter 9 today, finishing up the chapter. Luke does a really crazy thing after just talking about Saul's conversion and then him continuing on to Damascus and the believers there accepting the word of God that truly Saul's heart has been turned by my spirit. And that he's not here to harm you, but rather he's here because he is my chosen vessel to reach the Gentiles, to stand before kings, and to refute the Jews. He is my chosen vessel. And last week we found out that not only is Saul a chosen vessel, but each and every one of us are a chosen vessel for God's word to be spoken in and through us, that as we receive the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, so we give it out to others, so that they too can know the glorious hope that we have. Luke switches gears. He introduced Saul back a few chapters ago, now speaks of his conversion, and now he just drops Saul. And he turns instead his attentions towards Peter, who has been on his radar for quite a few chapters already. Now he goes back to, but what was Peter doing? Because upon Peter, the church was established. The rock is what Jesus called him. He says, upon you, Peter, I will build my church. We know that the persecution came through Saul and others, and that the church scattered throughout Judea, Samaria, and the other parts of the world at that time. But the apostles remained in Jerusalem. Now, can you imagine? How many of you have run a business? Maybe you've been the head of it or something, right? And say your business is catching on greatly, I mean, by the thousands. People are coming to your business. Well, Peter's business was a church. It was about spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And thousands upon thousands of people are coming into the church. And they're having to be discipled. They're having to be taught the truth of Jesus' teachings. And so the Lord has imparted not only to the apostles, but the apostles are now imparting into the disciples, and the disciples are now going out into all the areas of the earth, just as the Holy Spirit was going to inspire them and to fill them with the power to be able to take the gospel message of Jesus Christ, Lord, Savior, raised to glory to the rest of the world, to give all of them a hope. It was no longer a law that they had to keep. Instead, it was this love relationship with God. What a marvelous thing. I no longer had to prove that I came from some lineage of Israel. But instead, all I have to do is be blood bought into God's kingdom through Jesus Christ. And I become a part of His family. I become His son, His daughter, His child. He becomes my Abba Father. And as I take in all of that, I then exude that to others because I am filled with a love and a joy and a peace that people don't understand as the world is falling apart. We understand that the world is falling in place because God has a plan and a purpose for all things, even evil for its day, to someday be judged and to be put away forever and ever. And for those who follow the way, the truth, and the life, they will be given an eternity with the Father. An eternity that none of us can buy. An eternity that none of us can somehow be good enough to earn. Instead, that eternity is offered to us if we will just simply believe. but then turn that belief into a life that is filled with the power of God's Spirit and presence in us. I've had this interesting thought going through my head.
It's very deep.
Wow. I'm so being thrown to the curb. If you do not intentionally fill yourself with the Holy Spirit, because we know that man is made up of body, soul, and spirit. So there are three parts of us. If we are not intentionally filling ourselves up with the Spirit of God in that spirit void, then does it allow other spirits to come in? Do we open the door for other spiritual powers to work their way and manifest themselves in and through us? My answer would be yes. And even Paul would agree. He says, our battle is not flesh and blood, but it's a spiritual power against principalities and powers of this dark world. That war for your soul. You see, the principalities and the powers of darkness want you to spend your eternity in hell. They want you to be as miserable as they are. But instead, what God has invited you to take part in and to be totally engrossed with is His kingdom, His power, His life that He has for you. So deal with that this morning. Are you intentionally filling yourself up with the Holy Spirit? Or are you allowing principalities, powers of this dark world to infiltrate your thinking? Are you hiding the Word of God in your heart, that you might not sin against God? Are you studying His Word? You see, this is the power of God's Spirit right here. It's God communicating to us. It's His love letter to us, that we might read it, that we might understand it. And some of you might go, well, I've read the Word, but sometimes I just don't understand. I don't comprehend what's there. Man, in his own finite mind, cannot understand the infinite God without the power of an infinite Spirit of God. And so you must ask for the Holy Spirit, who inspired these words, to give you insight into how they manifest in your life, how they make their way into your life, how they are applied, how you can take the truths of this Word and put it into life today. It is a living Word. It's not dead. And yes, though these words record nothing but history, they are also the history today. Return to Peter, Acts chapter 9, verses 32 to 43 is where we're going to be today. And I will do my usual teaching and then going off into my thoughts, which some of you chuckle at. And I'm glad that you are thoroughly entertained. As Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the saints of Lydda. There, he found a man named Ananias, a paralytic who had been bedridden for 8 years. Ananias, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and take care of your mat. And immediately, Ananias gets up. And all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. You see, as Peter goes from place to place, it says he's traveling the country. And as he goes from place to place, he's looking for those that he can minister aid to suffering hearts. Kind of sounds like our vision, doesn't it? As a church, he's looking for people who need a miraculous touch of Jesus' love and healing. Notice what these verses say. There, Peter found a man. You see, Peter was looking for those who were in distress. He was looking for those who needed a healing touch, who needed to experience the love of Jesus. Do you know of anybody today that needs that same touch? That needs to experience the love of Jesus? And the greatest healing that could ever be done to any person is not a physical healing, although the Lord definitely offers that. But the greatest healing that can ever be done for any person is a healing of relationship between him and the God, his maker, his creator. You see, God created each and every one of you. Man, he's got a wily imagination. He has got a wonderful and sometimes humorous, not saying who that is, Sharon. Love you, girl. But God has created each and every one of you. It says in Psalm 139, and I don't understand how David can have this insight into how wonderfully he was designed and made. But it says, even while God was knitting him together in the womb, that he knew all of our days, even before one of them came to be. And he knows the plans and the purposes that he has for us. And yet, do we have an ability within us to say no to God's plans and to follow our own wisdom? Yes. Unfortunately, God has given us free choice. And many people have said no to God and yes to their own wisdom, their own desires, their own flesh crying out, "Feed me." When it's our spirit that needs to be fed, if we are not intentionally filling ourselves up with the Spirit of God, we will allow the world to invade our hearts and our minds and draw us away from the truth of God and draw us into a world that can get so dark, can get so dreary, can get so down. Because, you see, Satan is out to devour, to destroy you, to divide you up. He cares not for your future, other than he wants to see you just as miserable as you possibly could be. And oh, but Pastor, it's fun doing the things of the world for a season. The things of this world have their season. Yeah, I'll give that to you. But in the end, God's word says it leads to death or destruction. Yeah. So have your party. Go ahead. God says, go do what you got to do. And when you finally get down so far, I hope that you will be at that point of the prodigal child where you will turn to me and say, God, I need help. And understand, God will be there. But that's not God's plan for you. That's your plan. You see, God still chases after you because he loves you so much. And he will send people like Peter out to look for you. He'll send people like the people of this church out to find people who are lost, who are hurting, who need a master's touch, who need to be shown the love of Jesus. That's our ministry, folks. We are ministers of reconciliation, as if God were making his appeal through us. Who have you touched lately with the truth of God? That truth that has saved you, who have you shared that with? You see, that's your history. His story of how he changed your life. You see, people can argue scriptures with you all day by the way that they interpret them. But they can never argue your testimony about how God changed your life. And some of us have had such a strong conversion that we can reach those same people with the message that, you know what? My life was in that same gutter that you're finding your life in. But then I met a friend, and his name is Jesus. And he gave me hope. He gave me strength to be able to say no to the things of this world and to say yes to God. Because honestly, that's all God is looking for from each and every one of you, is just say yes to him. As God wants to commune with you each and every day, just say yes, God. Yes. And yes, I want more of you. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15 on your outline. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for what? For themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. You see, this is exactly what Peter was doing. His business was taking off. The people were dispersed into all the lands. And so Peter decided, you know, I'm going to take a little trip. I'm going to travel around. I'm going to see how the word of God is going out and the changes that it's making into the communities. Because if the word of God does not change you, then it's not the true word of God. I once had a Bible teacher tell me that this word is the biggest change agent ever. You cannot read the Word of God and not be changed by the truth that you read in it. And if you can, then you're not really reading it with the power of His Spirit. You know what I also really liked about this? That even though Peter goes out and he finds a man who's been bedridden for 8 years. You know, so obviously Peter is interacting with Aeneas. And he's trying to find out, well, you know, dude, how long have you been like this? And he testifies, well, it's only been 8 years. You know, I've had a better life before this, but right now I'm a paralytic. That I've been on this bed mat and I've been bedridden. I can't go anywhere on my own for 8 years. So there had to be some connection between Peter and this man for Peter to even have this understanding that it's been 8 years. God doesn't care how long you've been sick. God doesn't care how long you've been departed from him. He will find you. And what does Peter say to this man? He says, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and take care of your mat. So does he have to wait a couple of days? No, it says immediately. For those of you who have worked in physical therapy, for those of you who have had hospital stays and you've been bedridden for a few days, do you feel like jumping out of bed right away? This man has been bedridden for 8 years. And yet when Peter tells him, commands him, Jesus Christ heals you, get up, take care of your mat, he immediately arises. So what does that mean about the muscles and everything that's been going on? They're all restored by the power of what, Peter? No, by Jesus Christ. It is Jesus who is the healer. And then I love this. I love this. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon, they saw him and turned to Peter. No? Oh, I'm sorry. My glasses were smeared. Oh, that's right. They turned to the Lord. They turned to the Lord. Why? Because they saw the miraculous. We all know this man. This is a small community. It's on this river that goes from the hills, and it flows westward to the Mediterranean Sea. And the people in this small town, just about 10 miles outside of Jerusalem. You see, but this isn't the first place that Peter comes to. It's just the first place that Luke writes about. Peter goes to Lydda as he's been traveling about the country. And he sees somebody with a need. Are you looking for people with needs in your world? Because they're out there. They're all around. Testimony. Suzanne and I were going to look at some paint for our home. Went to this certain dealer here in town. And we got there and we were looking for this paint. And the person was being ever so helpful, although they were very overrun. One person running a store, and they had telephones to answer. They had people walking in the door. She had 100 gallons that she was making up for a painter that was in there. And then we come walking in. And she's like, she's frantic. And we're like, we're good. We're patient. We're looking at color schemes and things. We're right over here. You won't forget us. And so she goes about getting the rest of the stuff taken care of, and lo and behold, it was finally our time to be taken care of. And another man walks in with his little tester paint. This needs to be made a little darker, please. And we're like, you know, go ahead and take care of this man. We'll wait. We're patient. And so she takes care of him, and boom, he leaves. And the phone stops ringing. And so we've got her attention. And so we talk to her about what we're trying to do. And so she whips things up. And we're just visiting with her. All of a sudden, it gets to a point where she asks where our church is. And so I tell her, and she goes, oh, that's right, I passed that a few times. I said, well, stop passing it and come on in. I said, you'll have a bunch of people that will just love you. And she goes, well, thank you, but I was raised an atheist. What a curse to put on your children. And I just looked at her and I said, well, do you know Jesus loves you? And she just stopped. She stepped back from the counter, you know, kind of like, what are you crazy people going to do to me? I said, I just want you to know today, Jesus loves you. Just right where you're at. And though you can try to deny him, he's not going to deny you. If you'll just give him time, he will show his love to you. And her eyes got all teary. And I knew the Spirit of God was working. So fan it into flame, Don. Don't lose a spark. I said, what's going on? She goes, I just lost my grandma. She goes, and tomorrow would be my 1-year anniversary of being married, but my husband, he was an abuser. I had to leave him. Just tomorrow would be our 1-year anniversary. I said, oh, girl, you're just getting hammered by the things of this world, aren't you? Yeah. Having a hard time bearing up under all that, aren't you? Huh. Yeah. I said, Jesus loves you. Tears. I said, here's my card. Come see us sometime. I'd like us to go on an all-assault church prayer for a young lady named Heather. She's moved here. She's not from this area. She's thinking about moving out in a couple of months because she's not connected here in this community. Pray for Heather, if you would, please. You see, when people see and experience Jesus' miraculous love and healing, what are they going to do? They'll seek the Lord. So, at the same time that Peter is in Lydda and he's healing a paralytic, at the same time, Luke writes, in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which is, when translated, is Dorcas. You see, Tabitha was the Aramaic way of saying her name, Dorcas, the Greek way. And she was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died. And her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa. In fact, it was about 5 miles away. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. Now, I want you to notice something out of this paragraph. Number one, the disciples that were there in Joppa had faith. But they didn't have enough faith to intercede for this dying woman. And yet, they knew Peter was in a community just close by. Well, maybe we could just go to him, and we don't know what he can do, but we've got faith enough that maybe if we bring the man of God here, the one who walked with Jesus, maybe he can make a difference in this dear saint's life. And so the two men went to him and urged him, Peter, please come at once. So Peter went with them. And when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Another thing just hits me about this story as I read it. Are the people in a hurry? Other than sending the men to go get Peter to come there, you know, you'd think the time is of the essence in their minds. But instead, what are all these ladies doing? They're crying. They're showing Peter the robes and other clothing that she has made while she was living. You see, that was exactly what the widows of that day were supposed to do. Do good, it says in the scriptures. If you're a widow, do good to others. And here's a prime example of one who was. So Peter, after hearing all this information about her, he sends all those mourners out of the room. Then he gets down on his knees and he prays. You see, whenever you face anything that is bigger than you, bigger than your abilities to handle, where should you go? Get down on your knees. Seek God's face. You see, because when you use your God-given gifts to serve others' needs, you'll be blessed for being a blessing. Galatians 6, 9, and 10 on your outline. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. I mean just all the people in the church? No. What does all mean? All means all, and that's all that all means. Let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. You see, we should not be in any kind of a harmful relationship with anybody here. This is about being built up, about strengthened, about being encouraged in our walk with Jesus Christ. This is not a place where you come and you do harm to others. Instead, it's a place where you can exercise your gifts of doing good to one another. When facing obstacles greater, turn to God and seek His will in the situation. And when He leads you, then you can walk in confidence. Peter ushers everybody out the room, out. There's too much noise, too much commotion. Y'all just please leave. And he immediately drops to his knees and prays. God, you've heard these good reports. You've heard the testimony of these widows and those that were mourning for her. You've seen the two men and the hurry that they were in to come and get me and to bring me to this place. Lord, how do you want to be revealed? What do you want to do here? You see, it wasn't Peter's will that was being done. It was God's will that was being done. And when Peter got that message from God, then what does he do? I love it. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. Now, Peter goes over, and he takes her by the hand. I mean, can you imagine? He's thinking, oh, you precious servant of God. I've heard the testimony of all you've done. And he goes over to give her honor. Here, let me give you my hand. Did he give the hand to Aeneas? What did he tell Aeneas? Get up, take care of your mat, dude. Right? But to Tabitha, he goes over and he offers his hand and he helps her up. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. Glory, glory, glory be to you, Lord. Can you imagine? Can you just imagine the praise service that went on? This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in Peter. Thank you. Thanks for the correction. That's right. Many people believed in the Lord. You see, the same thing happens in Lydda with Aeneas. These miracles are to draw people to the Lord. And here Tabitha is back from dead. And many people believed in the Lord. And Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. And that's how the chapter ends. Now, I've got the same heart with Peter. I mean, rather than staying in a community, Lydda, next to a creek, I mean, I love all that nature-sounding stuff. But to be invited to come to Joppa, a town that sits on the Mediterranean Sea, to hear the waves of that sea crash on the sands, to watch the sunset at night? Oh, Peter, beam me up. I'd be there in a heartbeat. And he stays there for a long time, and he ministers. And how does he minister? Because, you see, the Lord showed him favor. And he showed the favor of the Lord to others. You see, the Lord has showed favor to you, to each and every one of you here. How are you showing his favor that he's given you to others? Because that's what you're called to do. You're not called to just hog it all yourself. You're called to share the glory that God has given you. Loving Heavenly Father, this testament, these stories, it's all about being filled by your Spirit. And Lord, as we began, if we're not intentional about filling ourselves up with your Spirit, we know that other spirits will crowd for that attention. So, Lord God, I pray for not only your Holy Spirit anointing on everyone here, but that in that anointing, that they would daily, like going out and finding the manna every morning, that they would go out and find the bread of heaven for their life, to strengthen them. That they, as they go out and find that manna, would adorn themselves with the armor of God, because we are in a battle. But our battle is not flesh and blood. It's about spirits, it's about powers and principalities in this dark world. Lord God, help us to be children of the light and to shine that light in a very dark world. By the power of your Spirit that infills us, we ask in Jesus' name. And everybody that agreed said, amen.